So as I was waking up this morning, I by having my cup of coffee and going outside for a minute, which I was grateful to be able to do. You know, it was just a beautiful, beautiful day. You know, I spent a long time in Florida, and our good humidity days were 75%, you know. This is like perfect, 50%, maybe 45. And to just be out there in the spring and the greenery in the Lord's creation was just inspiring to me. You know, and it's one of those things where I, you know, nature in those moments helped me get in touch with the Holy Spirit and helped me feel closer to God. And there's also a song that I like called The Voice of Truth. And it's by a group called Casting Crowns. It's a song about what's possible with God's help. The song starts with a lament of what I would do to have the kind of faith that Peter had to leap out of the boat when Jesus called me. The boat being the one described in Matthew 14:29, where Jesus tells Peter to come. And Peter steps out onto the crashing waves and walks towards Jesus, buoyed by his faith. He reaches out of his comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is. The writer of the song uses the waves as a metaphor for the world and our fears, and describes how the waves laugh at him and deride him, like our own fears, and how the world can discourage us from stepping out on faith. The chorus of the song is, "The voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth." The voice of truth. So who are we going to listen to? The voice of truth, also known as the Holy Spirit, or the world and our fears? It takes faith to listen to the voice of truth. St. Paul tells us today that we are meant to drink from one spirit, male, female, Greek, Jew, servant, or free. Everyone is to be one with Christ. One body, many parts, one spirit, many gifts. Each of us is called to listen to the Holy Spirit and live by the Spirit, to rise above the fears and the voices of this world, and live in Him. The first reading from Acts today tells us that we are to hear these voices, not just in the words of our culture so we can understand, but to also take from this reading that the Holy Spirit will speak to us in a way that is particular to our situation. He will speak to our hearts in a language we can understand. The Spirit of truth is an unmistakable voice. He is the advocate that Jesus speaks about in the gospel today. This advocate who will speak for Jesus to us will guide us to the truth in all things, great and small. An example from my life may be useful. Now, this may seem trivial, and indeed it is a small thing in the overall scheme of things. But it points out that listening and being attentive to this still small voice can yield some surprising results. Thursday night, after attending the confirmation rehearsal, I initially thought I would head home. As a matter of fact, I called Father Gregory and said I wasn't coming. I sent an email saying I wasn't coming to going. I was going to go right home. Because I was tired and it was a frustrating day, and I wasn't going to go to my normal RCIA meeting on Thursday night. I won't bore you with the details on why it was such a frustrating day, but as I was heading down the hallway to exit the building out the back, something told me to take a left at the and to go into the conference room where the RCIA group was having its final meeting of the year. I really didn't want to go, but I was drawn there. I just felt like I had to go into that room. And I was late, about 10, 15 minutes late. And if you don't know, being late to RCIA is not a good thing. Luckily, Father Gregory was not there, so somebody else was teaching. But I still didn't want to disturb anyone. Still, I entered the room, pulled up a seat, and wouldn't you know, not surprisingly in retrospect, they were talking about charisms and the gifts of the Holy Spirit using the Catholic Spiritual Gifts Inventory from the Catherine of Siena Institute. What a gift it was to me to be there as I was preaching this weekend on Pentecost. I chuckled to myself, knowing I was in the right place at the right time and knowing I was led there. A more meaningful example of how the Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts is in our own personal call to surrender to Jesus Christ, to have it put upon our hearts that he is truly the way, the truth, and the life. For as St. Paul says today, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. But sometimes, as the sequence told us, this and other models of the Holy Spirit tell us, this communication with the Spirit of truth can be more like a breath or breathing, a kind of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, as if the person were dying and not able to breathe on their own without the Spirit's help. In the Spiritual Canticle by St. John of the Cross, he offers this poetic point of view of this breathing, this Spirit. This Spirit, he says, by breathing with her, this divine breath, all of a sudden catches up the soul and refashions and disposes her so that she should catch her breath in God with the same breathing love that the Father breathes with the Son and the Son breathes with the Father. So intimate and life-saving can this communication with the Holy Spirit be. And to be honest with you, it is truly where I wish to be in communion. You know, all my prayers try to lead me to that point where I'm in the same breath, the same voice, the same song with the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. This Lord, this giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, will show us our gifts and how to be in union with him and show us our mission. For our lives as Christians are to be a light to the world through our own personal spiritual gifts. According to the Catherine of Siena Institute, there is a difference between the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit enumerated in Isaiah and fulfilled in Jesus Christ and gifted to us in confirmation and the personal gifts or charisms. As a reminder, the seven gifts are wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. These gifts are to be kept and used as part of our inner transformation and provide us the inner Christ-likeness to make effective use of our charisms or personal spiritual gifts. Our charisms are gifts to be given away. Charisms are always focused outwards. We serve our world through these charisms, and we exemplify God's love in sharing them, and they act as a redemptive force in our world. The Catherine of Siena Institute teaches that there are 24 common charisms. I won't enumerate them all, but I will give you some representative samples. They include, surprisingly to me, craftsmanship and administration, and not so surprisingly, evangelism and intercessory prayer. One common element of all these charisms is they come to us easily. We don't struggle to have them. They are our gifts. They're just our gifts. And we use them in the service of God. In many cases, we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit when engaged in giving this gift away. We also should be aware that these charisms can change over time. So a gift you may not have had earlier in your life may be available now, and vice versa. Beginning today and later this week, we're going to celebrate confirmation for our teens and a few adults. They will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. The effects of the sacrament are expressed in the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Confirmation will imprint on their soul a sacred character that can never be erased. They will receive the same gift that the apostles received Thousands of years ago, when Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," perhaps we might take a moment to reflect on what that means to us, perhaps reflect on our own confirmation. For the sacrament of confirmation makes us agents of the church, the builders of his kingdom. So as we end the Easter season with this Feast of Pentecost and move back into ordinary time, perhaps we can take a moment to discern how we're going to serve God and serve the church. For on what we consider the birthday of the church, what better gift could we give to the Church of Jesus Christ by letting go of our fears and listening to the voice of truth and giving the church the gift of ourselves with whatever charisms we have? For we know that God will use us to build up his kingdom, and we need not be afraid. Amen.
Amen.